I'm excited to be here with you in the pulpit today. There's a presence of the Lord in here today. God is good, amen. I love that we don't have to know everything. You know, we don't have to know. I used to get tripped up on that. Like, if I don't have the right words, like, how do you say that? You don't. You just open your heart to God. You know, when I talk to my husband, or if I talk to my kids, or my kids come talk to me, we don't have some like prearranged formula of how to speak to each other. We just talk from the heart. Amen. And that's the same way you go to God. You just talk from your heart. It's a relationship. It's a father-child relationship. Amen. And so I love that the Lord promised that as we come to Him, as we search for Him, we'll find Him. Amen. Amen. And as we praise Him, He'll come to dwell with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You know, my husband and I have realized that the Lord's been dealing with both of us about teaching and ministering along the lines of renewing your mind. Amen. And so my husband, you know, last week in Corey, I was ministering about renewing our mind. Last week here, my husband was ministering about renewing our mind. Last night in Corey, my husband was ministering about renewing our minds. And today, I'm going to talk about renewing our minds. So what you need to do is you need to take note of that and realize that if this has been on your pastor's heart again and again, that means it's something important for us to get a hold of, amen? So you never say, oh, I've heard a message about that. Oh, man, boring. I could have slept in today. We heard about this last week. And every service is different according to the pull of the people. Did you know that? There are three parts to every service. There's God's part. He always does His part. He always promises to meet us when we show up to meet Him. He always promises that. There's the minister's part. I've been in the Word. I've been in prayer. I've been seeking God for this service. Amen. And then there's the congregation's part, that if you don't pull, if you don't come hungry, you're not going to get your answers. So if you come to church and you just say, well, I showed up, check it off my to-do list, then you're going to go home and you're going to say, well, that church didn't do anything for my life. I'm not changing. I'm not growing. I'm just the same as I always was. Must be the church. Hey, this isn't in my notes. Praise the Lord. It's speaking to somebody in here. But our job is to stir ourselves up. The Word of God says that. So if we don't stir ourselves up and we don't receive our answers, it's on our end. Amen. And so you want to say right now, you may have come and you may be groggy. You may be tired. That rain might be dealing with, you know, you got a knee issue or a back issue because that rain is going. I don't know what happens with that, but it seems to be the case. People are always saying, it's raining, so my legs hurt. I don't know. If that's you, knock that off, right? Say, I'm here to receive. I showed up. God showed up. I might as well leave with what I need. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know where that came from. The title of today's message is The Word Richly in You. The Word Richly in You. Amen? Why don't you go ahead and turn to the book of Proverbs. Hallelujah. It's good for you to have your Bible in church. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get you one. But it's good for you to have your Bible because, you know, there are many religions, many places where a Bible is forbidden, where people can't even own a Bible, or religions where they don't encourage you to read your own Bible. We want you to know that we're not speaking out of our own heads. We're speaking out of the Word of God, that it's God's answers for our lives, not just me up here or my husband up here. It's for you to understand. And so as you turn the pages of your own Bible, you're going to know where to find the answers when you need them, amen? And you're going to know that it's God speaking, not man, amen? Well, I'm going to read in the Amplified, but it's good for you to have to turn there anyway. So you can see the Amplified Bible just does what it says it does. It amplifies. It brings out more of the original meaning of the word. See, the Greek and the Hebrew, which the Bible was written in, they had way more meaning. They're like a little caper. We were eating capers yesterday. Anybody ever had a caper? A caper to me is like this concentrated olive. It's like so much flavor in this little bitty thing, and that unless you draw that flavor out, you know, you can have this little caper, but unless you taste it and get into it, you're not going to realize how much punch it has for that little bitty thing. Well, sometimes there's words in the Bible that are like that. They're like really large, like olives, but we only see this little caper. we don't realize that there's all this stuff behind it, amen? And so the Amplified just amplifies. It brings out that flavor, that real meaning, because it really had this deeper meaning, amen? All right, so praise the Lord. We're talking about renewing our minds today. Proverbs 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, my son, it's talking about my son or daughter, amen, my children, if you will receive, and I looked up that word receive, and one of the meanings of that word receive is to collect. I liked that, to collect, amen. If you will receive or collect my words and treasure up my commandments within you, everybody say, this is God speaking to me. Yep, he's saying to you, if you'll receive and collect my commandments within you, stress that word you, amen, if you will make your ear attentive to skillful and godly wisdom and inclining and directing your hearts and mind to understanding, applying all your powers to the quest for it. That means putting all that you have in you to the quest or the search for that treasure, which is the understanding, which is the wisdom. Collecting that, receiving that within you. Amen? Listen to what we say here. Yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek wisdom from the Word of God, right, as for silver and search for skillful and godly wisdom as for hidden treasures, if you do all this, if you incline your ear, if you'll collect, if you'll receive, if you'll search like a treasure, like for a treasure, if you'll cry out for it, if you'll apply all your skills and powers to it. You know, I think about star athletes, right? I'm not athletic, but I understand what a good athlete looks like, amen? And I think about this, that people, humans, are pretty incredible. God has made us pretty, pretty incredible in our abilities, amen? Because if you just, if an athlete as a young kid, they give themselves to that sport and train and train and train and train, they can become pretty awesome at that sport. Same with an academic. If somebody will continually study and study and study and study, they can become pretty smart. Amen? Yeah. God has put this ability. Same with musical talent or artistic talent. If you will give yourself to that, if you really give yourself to that, we see it all the time, you become pretty skillful in it. Well, it's the same thing here. If we'll give ourselves to getting the word in us, if we'll give ourselves to spending that time with God, if we'll give ourselves to collecting and receiving his words and searching for his words like wisdom, if we will really commit all of our powers, our strength, our ability to that, we will become pretty skillful with the things of God. And see, that's pretty awesome. And that's what the word is saying here. Then you will understand. If you do these things, you will understand the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of our omniscient. Omniscient means all-knowing. Yeah. Well, let me read this again. Then you will understand the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of the all-knowing God. Do you understand that? That means that we can tap in to all those things that God knows. Did you hear me? Do you know how much God knows? Do you know that there's no question with God? There's no question that's not answerable. There's no problem that's not solvable. There's everything we need to know for everything we'll ever experience in life is found in his knowledge. And so as we give ourselves to that, as we press in with that, as we search for it and collect it and receive it up like treasure, we will have all that knowledge available to us that the all-knowing God has. My goodness, that stirs me. That means if I would just give myself to the Lord, and the more you give yourself to it, the more you'll know. The less you'll give yourself to it, the less you'll know. Why am I not a good athlete? Because I never tried. I sat out in gym class. I even skipped gym class. I went down to the railroad tracks and hid from gym class. I mean, I'm telling you, I was not an athlete. Amen? I didn't give myself to that, so I never became some star athlete. But as you give yourself, the ones who did give themselves to that, you know, we've got some good athletes that go to this church. I know some good runners, some good athletes here. And why? Because they've trained, they've practiced, they've made it a habit of getting it, becoming skillful in it. And so if we will do that with worldly things, we need to know how to do that with the things of God. Why do Christians act like they don't know the answer? I don't know what we're going to do in this situation. I don't know how we're going to figure this one out. The way that you figure it out is by renewing your mind. And see, Christians with renewed minds would never go to that question. I don't know what to do. No Christian with a renewed mind would ever ask that question. Because you would know that all-knowing power and that all-knowing wisdom of God is available to me. So as I tap in, as I go to Him, I always know my answer. See, that's what we have to renew our minds. We have to understand and get that in us, or we're going to go to that every time. Our human mind is going to go to panic mode, right? Anybody else go to panic mode ever? You ever go to panic mode? You're like, oh no, my car is making a weird noise. Oh, we're probably going to break down. What am I going to do? I don't have money to fix it. What am I going to do? I'm going to be stranded. My cell phone's out of range. What am I going to do? No, we can't get into that fear of what are we going to do? There's going to be trials. There's going to be circumstances. Your car is probably going to break down at some point in your life somewhere, or you'll get a flat tire, or you'll have a bill that comes that you're not expecting, or you'll have a pain in your body that you really don't want there, that, you know, you're going to have all these things that are going to come against you. I'm glad that I'm human. I enjoy human life. I enjoy my family. I enjoy the fresh air. I enjoy going on a nice hike or going out in the boat. I enjoy being human. But with humanity and with living in this world that we live in, we have trial. We have circumstance. We have other people to contend with. We have, you know, finances that we have to handle. We have life that we have to handle. So there's always the good and the bad, right? There's always the pros and the cons. We might as well just be happy and know how to abase and how to abound, like the Apostle Paul said, amen? I don't know. This is praise the Lord. But we, if we would get in His Word, we'd get His wisdom. If we get our minds renewed, then we'll always know what to do. It is not hard. No decision in your life needs to be hard.
That's right, yeah.
No decision in your life needs to be hard. Everybody say that. No decision,
no decision
in my life
needs to be hard.
I can always know the answer. Amen? I can always know the answer. If you're not in peace, it's because your mind isn't renewed. If the decisions in your life are seeming very hard, it's because your mind is not renewed. If you're struggling in your marriage or your home life and the strife is there, it's because your minds aren't renewed. You got to get them renewed. Amen. Oh, let's keep reading. For the Lord, what verse were we in? For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Amen. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That word skillful, it means experienced. You know, we always tell our kids, we're like, you can glean off of our experience, our skill and wisdom that we've gained in life, and you cannot do the stupid things we told you not to do because we learned, because we did them. Or you can go out and do the stupid things and go through it the hard way and have to learn the wisdom the hard way. My goodness, why are humans so stubborn? Why do we always think we know so much? Why do we always think we can figure it out better than God, or we can figure it out better than our parents? Your parents know more than you. I don't care who your parents are. They know more than you. They're smarter than you. They've gone through more life experience than you have. They know more than you. So stop being dumb and let your parents know that their wisdom means something to you. Let them tell you what to do and learn from it. Stop it. When you're a little kid, you try to touch the stove, and you should learn quickly that it'll burn you, and then you should not touch the stove again. But you know what? At some point, a kid who touches the stove deserves to get burned. Oh my gosh, I'm a school teacher and a pastor, and I just said that. But if you will touch the stove when you've already been told no, when you've already seen the consequence of it, and you're going to keep going back to that stove, good, get burned. Get a little blister on your hand and have some pain for a while so you understand that it's going to hurt when you go against wisdom.
Yes.
When you go against the Word of God, you're going to get burned, especially when you have the wisdom in you. If you, I don't know, this is all. When you have the wisdom in you, and you're going to ignore it, you're going to have consequence. It's going to hurt your life. Don't say, oh no, I might as well just give up now. No, I'm not saying that. You might as well just get it right now. Just get it back in line now, amen? For the Lord gives skillful, experienced wisdom, amen? From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God knows what he's talking about. God is smart. Amen. He hides away sound and godly wisdom and stores it for the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with him. Amen. His wisdom is meant for his people. His wisdom is meant for his children. Do you know that I don't tell every single child all the wisdom and all the things and all the life experiences that I tell my kids? But I pretty much tell my kids everything. You know that? People are like, you told your kids you used to do that? Yes, I did. You know why? Because I told them what I learned from it. Yeah. I told them what it did to my life. Yeah. I told them how it affected me. Yes, I'm honest with my children. I want them to glean off of my wisdom. I want them to know what I've learned. I want them to know where I've screwed up and where I've had to, you know, make my bed and lie in it. You know, I want them to know those things. But, you know, my own children, they get all those nuggets. They get all the gems, all the wisdom. They get that from me. And same with God's children. We get all of that available to us. His children get that available to us. But, you know, if you're out there living in the world and you want the devil's wisdom, you want the devil running your life, you don't get God's wisdom. You're not going to get the flavor out of it all. You're not going to get all those nuggets. You're not going to get all that it has inside of it. You're not going to get that. But as you seek him, as you purpose to live uprightly, as you purpose to dwell in him, as you purpose to get in his word, all that wisdom, all that all-knowing wisdom of God becomes available to you. But we have to be excited about that. We have to want that wisdom. A kid can say, I don't care what you say, Mom and Dad. I don't care. You're dumb. I don't believe you. You don't know anything. You're just old. You don't know what it's like to be a teenager. Oh, my gosh. I feel like I was a teenager yesterday. I know what it's like to be a teenager. Your parents, they know what it's like because they were like yesterday, too. Right? Anybody, like, has been out of the teen years for a while and you're like, really? I swear I remember being a teenager. I swear I'm waking up and I have a geometry test tomorrow. Like, I swear this is happening. How did this time go by? You know, our life is a vapor. The word says that. We know stuff even when we're 40, even when we're 60. We know stuff that you're going through because we've been there. The devil will convince you that you know more because you're in the situation, you know? He'll convince you that you know more, but there is godly wisdom, there's knowledge, there's things available to you that God knows more about your situation than you do. He hides away sound and godly wisdom. Where does he hide it? Right there. But it's very available to you. Why does he hide it? Anything that's valuable is not just left out in the open. You know, when we stop somewhere, my husband has a Jeep now and it's opened up, we open it up and it's like, you know, there's anything sitting out is just, you reach in and grab it. So what does he have? He's got a glove box with a key that I can lock my wallet up in there. I can lock anything, you know, that's valuable up in there if we're going to leave it in the vehicle. Well, God will do the same thing. He's not stupid. He's not casting his pearls before swine. He's not wasting the word. This is treasure for his children who want it. It's whoever wants it, it's available to you. If you really want to search for it, if you really want that wisdom, if you really want to get in there and get it out of there, it's for you. But you have to choose it. You have to want it. He hides it away in his word, and he stores it for the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with him. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity. Ooh, my goodness. We could have a whole message about integrity. A whole message. Amen. You know, I was thinking about, we go to Barcelona, not as frequently as we used to because we just don't have as much time, but we used to go there all the time, and sometimes we would go there with the distinct purpose of searching for sea glass. Or, you know, we would go there and we were coming to collect it. But there were many times we went there and we were just there to look around. So we would walk and I wouldn't even be searching for the sea glass. We'd just walk and I'd never find anything. Maybe one or two pieces that I stumbled upon. I'd get a couple, you know, little nuggets here. But when I really searched for it, when I would spend time at each spot combing it over and combing it over, then I would find it. Then I would go home with buckets of it. I mean, we have buckets to prove it. But as you're there and you're just kind of like, oh, maybe I'll look, maybe I won't, maybe I'll look over here for a while, maybe I'll turn over here for a while, you're not getting the nuggets. You're not getting the treasure. You got to dig for it. You got to get in there. You see how we've spent 20 minutes in this one little section of scripture? We are digging for the treasure of it. This is renewing your mind. It's not just, maybe I'll get something out of it, maybe I won't. It's, what am I going to glean from? What am I going to dig out of the Word of God for my life? See, that's what this is all talking about. If you will get into it, if you will try to get that wisdom, you will pull it out of there. And it's not, you're making, it's not pulling it out of thin air. It's pulling it out from the place God has hidden it. But see, if you're just kind of nonchalant, you just don't really care, I could take the things of God, I could leave them, you're not going to have that wisdom. And you're going to wonder why your life is in shipwreck. And I will tell you right now, it's because you don't care enough to get the wisdom of God. If your life is in shipwreck, it's because you don't care enough to get the wisdom of God. There is no excuse when you're in a Bible teaching church. There is no excuse if your life is in shipwreck, because the Word of God is available to you. The wisdom of God is available to you. The answers of God are available to you. But you have to care. You have to search for them. You have to want it. You can look at the water, you can look at the sky, or you can dig for the treasure. It's your choice. It's up to you. But you can't blame God. You can't blame your local church. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame your friends. You can't blame anybody else. You need to search for it. You need to. The Word says you will find him. If you search for him, you'll find him if you search with your whole heart. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We could all read the same Bible. We could all be sitting in the same service, but only some of us will actually do what the Word says to do. That's on you. Amen. That's your part. That he may guard the paths of justice, yes, he preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and fair dealing in every area and relation. Yes, you will understand every good path. For skillful and godly wisdom shall enter into your heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant to you. Discretion shall watch over you. Understanding shall keep you. What does that word keep means? It means protect. You get the Word in you, it protects your life. The Bible says that the Word is life to those who choose it, health to all their flesh. If you get the Word, you can't just say, I'm a Christian, I carry around my Bible, I have a Bible on my shelf. Nope, you got to search for the treasure. You got to get it in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's skip over, go to Proverbs 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I commend somebody came hungry at least, because there's utterance, there's unction, there's answers. Hallelujah. See, that's why it matters how we come to church, because people could be getting answers that they wouldn't have gotten if you weren't hungry today. See, there's somebody hungry at least, because there's answers coming out that aren't in my notes. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 4:20, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. I have in my Bible, be captivated by his word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For their life, I just said this, to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart. Everybody say, I keep my heart. I keep my heart. I keep my heart. You keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The Word tells us it's our job to keep our hearts. What is your heart? Your heart is actually, you know, a lot of times when it's talking about your heart and your soul, it's talking about your mind. You need to keep your mind. You need to guard your mind. You need to guard your emotions. You need to take control over that. You need to handle that. You need to put down the thoughts that are wrong. You need to say no when the devil tries to bombard your thought life. You need to keep it. You need to guard it. You need to get the Word in you. Stressing that word, you. Hey, the world wants things to be all about us, right? You do you. Yeah, you do you. You get the Word in you. Amen? Yeah. You take responsibility for your walk with God. You do you. Yeah, you do that. You do that, amen? But if you do you the way the world does you, great, have that. But if you do you, when it talks about getting the word in you, you keeping your own heart, you guarding your own thought life, you fighting the good fight of faith, you do you the Bible way, and you're going to see a lot better you. You're going to see a lot better life. You're going to see a lot more blessing. You're going to have a lot more peace, a lot more freedom, all the provision, everything you need is attached to you guarding your heart, you keeping your emotions, you keeping your mind. Amen. Let's just pull up Ephesians 6:17. The word says here, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is our weapon in this life. The word of God is our help. It's our tool. It's our weapon. It's our gun. It's our bow and arrow. It's our knife. Whatever weapon of choice, you know, the word is the weapon. So if we don't get the word in us, I was saying last week, the word is our inside being is an arsenal. And the more word we get in there, the more weapons we have to fight against the enemy. And we don't go out there and, you know, we don't do this. We don't run out in the parking lot fighting with the sword of the Spirit. No, we get it in us and we use our mouth. Amen? We get it in us. People do that. I mean, I was kind of amazed, but people are out there doing that stuff. They think that you have to wave the sword in the air and yell at the devil. No, you got to get the word in you. See, that's just an unrenewed mind. If you read the Bible, you'd understand that it has to get in you, and that's how you're able to use it. The word is how we guard and keep our life. It's our weapon, and we keep our weapon ready by renewing our mind. Go ahead and turn to the book of Joshua. Hallelujah. You can get whatever you want out of a service, and you can get whatever you want out of the word of God. I don't mean you can twist it and make it say whatever you want, but I'm saying you can take as much of the wisdom as you want to. You can glean off of as much of the knowledge as you want to. You can walk out of here with as many answers as you want to. But it's all about you. Hey, she said it in church. It is all about you. Amen. But it's not all about you the way the world says. It's all about what you'll do. Amen. Oh, goodness. I prayed for boldness and utterance today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to Joshua 1:6. We've been here, but we're going to get into it again because we need to understand this. It says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Listen, it takes strength and lots of courage that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, that's the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The word says that we have an inheritance. Anything that was promised in the Old Testament, we only have magnified. So you can't say the Old Testament isn't for us today. It's for us today, magnified. For us today, in the light of what Jesus did. For us today, with more a better covenant based on better promises. Amen? But even the Israelites had an inheritance. That was promised to them. But it says that they had to be strong and very courageous in order to do the word, to do what God told them to do. That's the same thing today. Listen, there's going to be a million temptations to not do the word. When you're, you know, a kid and, you know, you want to stay up late and your parents told you to go to bed, there's going to be a million temptations to be in your room playing or reading or trying to watch TV or trying to, you know, get on your phone or whatever it is. There's going to be temptations when you're a kid to do that. When you're a teenager and you got hormones all running through your body, there's going to be a lot of temptations to go get your fix for your hormones. I could go on, but you know what I'm saying. there's going to be a lot of temptations to go, you know, satisfy those hormones and those cravings in your flesh. When you are an adult, when you are, you know, filling out your tax return, how many times have you been tempted to just lie a little bit? Just lie a little bit so that I could get a little more money back. Anybody ever been there? Or maybe you're tempted to call in sick when you're not really sick. There's lots of areas that we're going to be tempted to choose the other way, not the highest and best way. Lots of areas, lots of things. And we'll have that temptation from small child all the way up. All the way up. What about the temptation to yell at your spouse or to swear at your spouse or to slam that cupboard door because you're just not pleased right now? Right? What about that temptation? What about kids, the temptation when you've been asked to clean your room to shove all your stuff under your bed? Anybody have? I mean, these are all temptations. You think they're just, oh, it's just the way I am. No, it's just the devil trying to get in, trying to make you not excellent, trying to make you not follow righteousness, trying to make you not choose the highest and best. I mean, you may see these things are trivial. What are you talking about? What I'm talking about is there's temptation in every arena of life. Everywhere. Every single thing we do is going to be contested. Everything. So we have to be courageous. We have to be strong in order to keep the word in us, to keep doing the word of God despite all those temptations. Hallelujah. It says, you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Meditate here, it means that we need to think on it, we need to dwell on it, we need to murmur it, we need to speak it out, we need to constantly have it in us. And I said last week it would be better for us to have one scripture that we have constantly rolling around in our heart and our minds and our mouths than 50 of them just somewhere in our head somewhere or somewhere on a piece of paper somewhere. I mean, we've all been there. I'm going to get all the scripture I can on this topic. I'm going to write it all down. I'm going to carry it in my purse. Then I have it when I need it. But where's your purse when you're laying in bed at night and it's pitch black and the devil is bombarding your thought life? Can you go to that paper every single time and read that script, the list of scriptures every single time? What about when you're at work and your colleague says something really nasty to you or does something to undermine your authority? Where's your little piece of paper? Yeah. I have papers all over the place. I have these written down all over the place, but I'm saying we got to get it in us because we don't have it unless we have it in us. We don't have it. It's not in our arsenal unless we put it there. Amen? The word of God is going to be contended. That's why the word says to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Let's just pull up 1 Peter 5:8. Hallelujah. The word is good. It's our answers. It says, be sober, you be sober. Be vigilant, you be vigilant. You ever heard of a vigilante? If you watch superhero things like my kids watch, there's vigilantes. That's the people who are out there trying to fight evil, right? They're trying to fight evil. They're not going to let evil win. At all costs, they're going to fight evil. That's what I think of with a vigilante. At all costs, I will fight evil. I will not let evil win. Amen? Be sober. That means be sober-minded. That could be for all kinds of things. Why do we say that you shouldn't be drunk? Why do we say that you shouldn't be doing drugs? Why do we say these things? Because your mind needs to be sober. You need to be with it. That's the area of the fight. That's the battlefield. You got to be sober there. Be vigilant. Fight evil at all costs. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's like, which one of them's going to let me get him? Yeah. Raise your hand if you're going to let me get you. And so you don't even need to raise your hand because he knows. He's paying more attention to your life than you are half the time. Yeah, I said that. The devil is watching you and watching what you do more than you watch what you do. A lot of times. He knows who he's going to devour and how he's going to get you. I've said time and time again, there are many things that the devil tries to fight individuals on. For me, I was raised with this poverty mindset. I was raised with you don't get it unless it's cheap. You can't buy it unless it's cheap, unless it's on sale. You know, we would buy the damaged cans, you know, because they were cheaper. You buy, you know, anything you want. It doesn't matter how ugly that outfit is. It's cheap. We can afford that. Yeah. You know, and that bombardment, I have good parents who worked hard. They were raised that way. Yeah. So that's what they brought into their, you know, my upbringing. They were raised that way. And I'm sure their parents were probably raised that way. Some, you know, it continues in families, this poverty mindset. And so for me, this poverty mindset was where I have been bombarded time and time again. It's very interesting because I have to use my faith not only for our own household, but for two churches. And this poverty mindset, it can't stay if I'm using my faith for two churches. It can't. I can't think poverty-minded. I can't do it because we'll never go anywhere. The bills will never be paid. The building will never be finished, you know. And so I know in my life, that's the area I have to be fortified. I have to know in my innermost being, I have to know the Word of God when it comes to Him taking care of our needs. I need to know that. Maybe you, I need a sip of water. Maybe you are somebody who's dealt with fear of dying early or fear of sickness or fear of, you know, health problems all the time. And that's been this bombardment in your mind all the time. Well, you know you need to get that word in you. And when I say get it in you, I don't mean you just can think it in your head. I mean, you got to dig into it. You got to squeeze out the essence of it. You got to know what God is saying to you. Get into the background. Who's He talking to? What was the situation? Don't just take one obscure scripture out of context and try to think that you'll believe it in your head. We don't believe God with our heads. We believe God with our hearts. But if we only have His scripture in our heads and not in our hearts, we are never truly trusting in Him. We got to get it in us. You know, wherever area of life you've had attack, that's the area you got to get sober in. That's the area you have to be vigilant in. You got to stick with it. You got to know it. You can't let it drop. Listen, there is crime every day in these superhero shows with these vigilantes. There is crime every day. They are going out every single night to fight crime because I think of like Arrow, the Arrow, right? He's a vigilante, right? So they go out every single night. I don't know. Not everything is good. I'm not saying go watch it. Although sometimes that imagery helps you. Not if it's bad. You know what I'm saying? But like sometimes that imagery of like, I know he's waking up every night or he's staying up late every night and he's going to go away at the time of day when he knows the attack is coming. When is the attack coming for you? Oh, when I wake up in the morning and I don't feel, I have that symptom. I've got that pain in my body again. There it is. There's where you have to be vigilant. There's where you have to stand on the word. You can't go rummaging around through your purse or notebook. You got to have it in you. You got to answer it. My husband was talking about that last night. You've got to answer it. But in order to answer it, you've got to have it in you. Amen? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We know that from Romans 10:17. And as we get the word more and more in us, there's more and more faith that comes. The more we hear the word, the more we dig into the word, the more faith that comes. So then we stand in the face of the devil and we laugh. I love this scripture. Psalm 37, go ahead and turn there. Sometimes I love when Pastor Noel was here and he had us laughing. He had us speaking scripture and laughing and getting in joy over the word of God. I used to think that was weird and goofy. I used to not understand that at all. I used to be very critical and judgmental of that. I really was. But then I realized, you know what? That's good. Because when you look at the word with joy, it means that you believe it. Because if you're not trusting something, you ever, you know, been in a relationship where you didn't trust the other person, where you didn't know what they were going to go out and do when you weren't around, where you didn't know, you know, what they were doing when they stayed out that extra couple of hours? I've been there. Where you wondered, are they coming home after they've been with somebody else or doing something else? You ever been like that, right? But when you're in that lack of trust, you're not in faith. You're in fear. You're in just anxiety. You have no peace. But God said we can trust Him. We don't have to be in lack of peace. Amen? And so when you trust, you know, when I remember being in situations like that, and there was no laughter. There was no joy. There was just, I mean, there was crying. There was shaking. There was biting my nails. But there was no laughter. There was no joy. The laughter and the joy, that comes when you trust. Amen. That comes when you're trusting. I know I'm, my husband now, if he's gone and I know he's been gone an extra couple hours, I chuckle sometimes. I truly do. I chuckle because I'm like, oh my goodness, I know what he's doing. I know he got into this. He probably stopped and got an extra cup of coffee, and now they're talking. And I'll sometimes chuckle because I know he's out doing something, nothing bad. I know it. Yeah. And so I don't get into fear and, you know, chomping my nails anymore because I know he's not doing anything bad. And see, when we trust God and we trust his word, we can laugh, we can be in joy, we can be excited even when we don't see it yet. Amen? Psalm 37 verse 12, it says, the wicked plots against the just. We know that. Seeking whom he may devour, and gnashes his teeth, or gnashes at him with his teeth, just like that roar, right? Yeah. The wicked is roaring. He's gnashing. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's plotting against the just, and the Lord laughs at him. I love that. The Lord laughs at him. How come he can laugh? For he sees that his day is coming. Yeah. The devil is not going to win. Yes. So why do we worry that he will? Yes. Why do we fret? Why don't we get in joy? Why do we chomp our nails? Why do we shake? Why do we get in fear? Why do we tear up? Why do we cry? Why do we moan? Why do we complain? Why do we worry? Why? The word says the Lord laughs at our enemy. The Lord laughs at the wicked. The Lord laughs because he knows the outcome. I was saying this last week, you know, if you've ever watched a movie, you know, over the years I've watched lots of movies, and I'm one of those people who's just extremely animated. If it's a tearjerker, I'm bawling. If it's scary, which we don't watch scary movies because I don't want to get fear put into me, but I used to, as a kid, I used to watch lots of scary movies. No wonder I had all these experiences with the devil. Seriously, I used to watch all these scary movies. Kids, I don't care if everybody at school says it's cool. It's not cool to watch horror movies. It's not cool to put murder and rape and serial killers and psychological maniacs in your head. It's not good to be watching that stuff. It's not fun. No entertainment, no 2 hours of not being bored is worth what that puts into you. But when I used to watch, like, movies, or still do, if there's, like, an action-packed one where there's, like, the bad guy and the good guy, and the bad guy's there and he's after the good guy, and I'll be like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I'm on my seat, and I'm scared, and I'm jumping, right? I jump sometimes, and I'm like, oh, no, I can't look, right? Because you don't know the outcome. You don't know if the good guy's going to make it. When the good guy, if you knew the good guy was always going to make it, you wouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't be. I'd be like, ha-ha, you're right. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. And I have done that. I've yelled at the TV before because I've been like, you can't win. I know the outcome. I know. Or the kids, or I'll be watching the kids if I show them something from my childhood. I'll be watching them go, and I'll be laughing because I know the outcome. I know what happens in the end. Well, that's the same thing with God. That's the same thing with us. If we get revelation of it, we know the outcome. So there's none of this on our seats going, oh, no, what's going to happen? Is it going to make it? Are we going to make it? Are we going to live? Is it going to get us? Is he going to win this time? There's none of that because we know the outcome. He cannot win. He cannot prevail. He cannot devour unless you let him. Amen. So we can laugh. Amen. We can laugh. We can laugh at our enemies. We can laugh at the wicked plots against us. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're renewing our minds today. We're seeing how we can get the word richly in us. Richly, that rich flavor of the word, the rich meaning of the word, the rich knowledge of God, the all-knowing God in us, by devouring it, getting it in us, reading it, getting it stirred inside of us, getting the hidden meaning, the real meaning, the depth of it, amen, and understanding it inside of us. Because when you get that, when you experience something, no one can take it away from you. You know, I can watch a movie and I can see people, you know, having a love story, for instance, and I could imagine it. But when you have your own love story, no one can take that one away from you. I know it. I have experienced it. I know the ins and outs of it. I know how it feels. I know all of the parts of it. See, it's the same thing with the Word of God. I could watch somebody else live for God, and I could know a little bit about it. I could probably imagine it. But when I do it, when I experience it, no one can take that from me. When God has come through for me when we've had health problems, when God has come through for me when we've had financial stress and burdens and challenging situations, when God has come through for me, no one can take that away from me. I know Him by my time spent with Him, by what He's done in my life. I know Him, and no one can take that from me. See, the Word of God, when it gets inside of us richly, no one can take that from us. That's our experience with God. When you're reading His Word, and it lights up, and you're like, oh, I get it now, I get it. That's us experiencing God, and no one can take that from you. The devil can try to convince you He's not real, but no one can tell you otherwise. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, it's not in vain to serve God. You're not serving Him in vain. But it says here, for you to be steadfast, for you to be immovable, and for you to abound in the work of the Lord. You can't abound in the work of the Lord if you're not steadfast, if you're not immovable. And you can't be steadfast and immovable if you don't have the Word in you, because you'll be shaken. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, there's always the enemy over here fighting you on this side, and then you might have the Scripture on the other side. But when it's in you, the devil can't get into your spirit. He can't rob what's in your spirit. He can rob from your mind. He can attack your thought life, but he cannot rob from the inside spirit nature of you. He can't do it. So we got to get it in us. And so this scripture would be an awesome. These scriptures would be awesome for you to meditate on. I'm going through this situation. Thanks be to God. He always gives me the victory. He always causes me to triumph. I can laugh at the wicked. I can laugh at my enemy because I know the outcome. His day is coming. I know what happens. I know the good guy wins. I'm the good guy. Does everybody say, I'm the good guy?
I'm the good guy.
You know that? You're the good guy. Even if you've sinned, even if you've fallen short, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're the good guy. You're the righteous. You've been justified. You've been made righteous. You've been washed. You always win. As long as you stay in it, as long as you keep it, amen? As long as you guard it. Colossians 3:16. Let's go there. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something here. Hallelujah. This is where this whole sermon came to me, starting here, because this word, the scripture that I had known and had in me, was stirring up on the inside of me, and so I was able to have it come out when I needed it, and when we all needed it. Do you know that? Because this scripture was in me, the Lord, as one of your pastors, the Lord was able to stir that up inside of me to get it over to all of you. That's pretty awesome. What if I didn't put any word in me? What if my husband didn't put any word in him? Shorter sermons. Some of you would be happy. lunchtime, nap time sooner. praise the Lord. But you wouldn't have the answers for your life. You wouldn't have the help. Amen. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How are you going to admonish and teach and help somebody else if it's not in you? How? You're not. You're going to live and die as a Christian and get to heaven, and great job. You never helped anybody else get there. Great job. God gave us His word for us and for others, but if we won't get it in us, we'll never help anybody. We may go to heaven. God is merciful. We can accept Him and go to heaven, but what did we do on this earth? Who did we reach here? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word richly, it means when we think of rich, we think of saturated with flavor. We think of that caper I was talking about, or Melinda's awesome chocolate cake with chocolate frosting is very rich and delicious, and it's like, you know it, you got that flavor, right? And now you're thinking, you're going to go home and bake a chocolate cake. But also that word richly is abundantly. That means we need to purpose to get an abundance of scripture inside of us. But it's not going to happen by getting 50 on a list and thinking of them in your head. You're going to have to take it day by day, one scripture at a time, one section of scripture at a time. If you have nothing in you, then you're going to have, it's going to take you a little bit longer. If you've got scripture in you and you just haven't been stirring it up, it's time to start stirring it up more. You've been a Christian a long time, you got word in you, stir it up. Amen. So we need to put more word of God in us. You know, I was telling this, the Lord gave me this illustration. I was talking about sea glass earlier. And, you know, when we used to collect sea glass all the time, we didn't always plan for it. We'd stop at Barcelona and we would, you know, be, you know, digging because, like, if you like it, you can't help but to look for it, you know. So you may be planning on just taking a little walk, but you start digging because you can't help it. And so we would stick it in our pockets. We'd, you know, stick it in our jacket pocket, our pants pockets, our hoodie pockets. We'd be like, hey, Ezra, hang on to this pile. You guys got a pocket, put this in your pocket. And, you know, if we went home and we gathered it right away and we put it into our, you know, bucket, our container, we would have it. But if we just kind of left it in those pockets and we laid on the couch, some would be in the couch, some would be, you know, in the washer, some would be in the dryer, the hamper, and we wouldn't actually have any of it. Maybe we'd have little pieces here and there. We'd have remnants of what we had collected. But when we collect something and we put it somewhere safe, we have it for when we want it later. Same thing with loose change. If you don't collect sea glass, I know you've collected loose change. And the same thing happens. You stick it in your pocket, you lay on your couch, it gets in your cushions, it gets maybe in your car, you pull out a receipt from your pocket, some of it falls on the ground, the neighbor kid picks it up. You know, you have some of it in the washing machine, some's in the hamper, some's in the dryer, and some might be there when you put those pants on the next time. But if you would have collected it, you'd have it to use it when you needed it. It'd be more valuable to your life than that penny that was remaining or that dime that was remaining, right? And it's the same thing with the Word of God. We can collect it, but we also have to put it somewhere safe. And so it takes time sometimes with the Word of God to really get it in us. Don't expect overnight you're going to have this huge bucket, you know, a vacation fund to use. It takes time, amen? I used to think it was more spiritual to read whole chapters of the Bible, and now I realize it's more spiritual to get a verse in, on the inside of me than it is to read a whole chapter or book of the Bible in one sitting and say, good job. You really read a lot today. What do you remember? What scripture do you have in you? And I was telling the people last week in Corey, you know, you got to get stuff in your arsenal. And so, you know, when the Lord woke me up and was stirring this, let the word of God dwell in you richly, and I started to get revelation that I needed that rich understanding of the word of God in me, and I also needed an abundance of the word of God in me so that it was available for my use when the devil comes to fight me, I did this kind of arsenal check. I started speaking out the scripture I knew when it came to prosperity and my needs being met. I started speaking out the scripture I knew when it came to health and healing in my body. I started speaking from my heart without ever going to Google, without ever going to the Bible, without ever getting out a list. I was doing an arsenal check. And I'll tell you, I had some correction. Man, I got to get more word in me. I got to get more in me. Even as a pastor, I got to get more word in me. And so I encourage you, if you weren't in Corey or you were in Corey and didn't listen to me, do an arsenal check when you leave. Do an arsenal check. What do you have on the inside of you? Because when the devil comes, for the word's sake, how are you going to answer? If you don't answer, you're not going to win. If you don't answer, he can devour. But if you answer him with the word of God, then you win. You come out every single time. Amen? So do an arsenal check. Amen? For sake of time, oh my goodness, this is like I am not getting anywhere. You're going to have to listen to Corey's message from last week if you want some more scripture. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to Philippians 4:8, and we'll just pull it up on the screen for sake of time. I want what God wants in a service, so if I don't get through all my notes, that's okay. I just want what God wants, and this has been a very different service than my notes said it was going to be. But that's okay. That means there were answers that people in here needed, and I needed, amen? Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, that's the word, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Here is a direction for our life. If you're thinking opposite of the word of God, you're thinking fear, you're thinking strife, you're thinking temptation, you're thinking, you know, I want to live like the devil, live like the world, you're thinking these things, get your thoughts back in line. Think on things that are noble. Think on things that are true. The word is true. Why don't you pull up John 17:17 real quick? John 17:17. Hallelujah. Ah, praise the Lord. I'll just read it. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So whatever things are true that you're supposed to meditate on, here it is. It's the word. The word is truth. The word is truth. So if we're meditating on truth, we're meditating on the word. And that, you know, the word goes along with the pure, the lovely, the noble, right? The praiseworthy, the good report. All those things are found in the word. So what is that scripture saying? What is Philippians 4:8 telling us? Meditate on the word. Think on the word. Spend your thought life on the word. Don't let the devil get you thinking about other things. Get your thoughts back on the word. Amen? That's where we want to spend our time. Hallelujah. Oh, goodness. Yes, let's go to Proverbs 23. I'm just skipping ahead, just seeing where we can go here. Hallelujah. Proverbs 23, verse 7. The word is our help. The word is truth. The word is our direction, our assignment to meditate on that, to get it in us. Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, hallelujah. Oh, I turned to Psalms. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. What I want you to see is as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Heart here, you don't think in your spirit, you think in your mind. So as you think in your mind, so are you. So whatever you've got going on in your mind, that's who you'll become. If you're okay with sin, you're going to sin. If you're okay with cheating, you're going to cheat. If you're okay with lying, you're going to lie. See, the word talks about not participating in sin, but also not accepting sin in other people. Do you know that? Because whatever we accept in the world is what we condone, and that's how we're going to live. As we think, so are we. Why do you think that sin and the things we see in the media and the destruction of our country, why do you think it's running rampant? Because people have accepted it. They've been okay with it. They've condoned it. In their thought life, they've decided, it's not that bad. It's okay. It's not hurting anyone. As long as it makes them happy. As long as it makes somebody happy. And so as you think, so are you. So pretty soon, you start living just like them. Just like the world. I love the world, but I don't want to look like them. I don't want to live like the world. We're going to end here with 2 Corinthians 4, let's go to verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4:16. As you think, so are you. You can indicate where your life is going to go very easily, very quickly. You can do it, don't only do that arsenal check in your spirit to see what scriptures are in there, but think about what you've been thinking about. What have you been thinking about lately? Because whatever you're thinking about all the time is how you're going to live. You think your spouse is a jerk? Well, your spouse is going to be a jerk. You think your marriage is bad? Your marriage is going to be bad. You think that you're not going to ever get anywhere better in life? You're not going to get anywhere better in life. you don't understand, maybe you don't understand, but you need to, that what you think and what you decide is true is what you're going to live. The truth is what we will walk in. By his truth, we are free. By our truth, by the world's truth, that same promise does not apply. So we got to think about what we've been thinking about, and we got to get it right. We got to meditate on the pure, the lovely, the truth, the praiseworthy, the good report. That is the word of God. Amen. We're going to end here, 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Our inward man can be renewed even though we're aging, even though we're living in a fallen world, even though there's trial, even though there's circumstance, even though there's natural things we have to contend with. Our inward man can be renewed, but it's all up to us. It's not going to be renewed automatically. We have to decide. If you want a different life, you got to start changing your thinking. You got to start spending time with the promises of God. If you want what God has, listen, I can't tell you to do it, or I can't go home with you and tell you every day to do this. I can't go home with you and force you. I can't spoon feed you the word of God. I can't do it. I can't do it. Just like a baby, if you give them a mouthful of peas and they spit it out, you can't really force them to swallow it. You can try. I'm doing that right now. I'm like, eat, eat, eat. It's good for you. It's good for you to understand this. It's good for you. But if you just spit it out, I can't help you. You have to care about your walk with God. You have to care about your walk with God. It has to matter to you. It can't matter just to your parents. It can't matter just to your pastors. It can't matter just to your friends. It can't matter just to your husband. It can't matter just to your wife. It has to matter to you. And if it doesn't matter to you, you will not have the promises. You will not have the blessing. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I know the outcome. I know the outcome, and I can laugh at the circumstance. But if I don't know the outcome, if I haven't spent time in this, then I can't be enjoying knowing my victory. You don't know your victory by your circumstance. You don't know your victory by the media. You don't know your victory by your colleagues. Yeah. Oh, glory, right? You don't know your victory in those places. You know your victory here. And you can't just know your victory up here. You got to know it on the inside. So we've got to spend time meditating on the Word of God. We've got to spend time renewing our minds to the things of God. The Word says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. It's a process by renewing our minds. You renew your mind. I renew my mind. And wherever we want to go is how much we'll give ourselves. Remember, if we give give all our efforts to getting the knowledge of God, we're going to have the knowledge of the all-knowing God. But if we don't, we won't. I can be a star athlete with the things of God, or I can be a bench warmer. I want to be the star athlete with the things of God. Amen?